And you ever pull into the driveway after a trip to the grocery store only to realize that you forgot a key ingredient for dinner, or that you're so tired that you don't even want to cook dinner at all? Well, now you've got options. Get the groceries you need or a backup meal from your favorite local restaurant delivered with DoorDash. For a limited time, you can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app, just enter that code FUNCHES. Hi, happy holidays! Hanukkah, I think, is wrapping up or has wrapped up. I don't pay attention to things. Christmas is right around the corner. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus for the rest of us. Thank you for all the support you've shown me. Poorly Drawn Lines, one of the favorite things that I've worked on, a cartoon that is on FX and Hulu. All 10 episodes are available for you to watch right now on Hulu. Just enter in Poorly Drawn Lines when you search for it, and you'll find one of the best adult, stony, hilarious, smart, esoteric cartoons you'll ever see in your life. So check out Poorly Drawn Lines whenever you can. I truly appreciate that. If you got some time off in the holidays, do a Poorly Drawn Lines binge. Other than that, I have a show this Saturday at the Dynasty Typewriter, Funches and Friends Comedy Christmas Spectacular, with Moses Storm, myself, Blair Saki, who recently made her late night television debut on The Late Late Show with James Corden. We got Gabe Dinger, our sweet, sweet buddy. I forget if there's anybody else, but Jeremiah Watkins is going to be there, and probably some more people who we add last minute. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, please, please buy a ticket and come hang out with us this coming Saturday. Other than that, you know the Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, Ron_Funches. Join the Funch Bunch. Come play some Halo with me. That's what we're playing right now. We're not really playing nothing else but Halo. So if you want to play something else, come back later. But right now, we're playing Halo. Other than that, let's get to it. I hope you're feeling strong. I hope you're feeling brave. I hope you're feeling loved and grateful for that love. I hope you're proud of yourself for making it through another year, being yourself, finding more about who you are, the things that make you you, both your faults and your pluses and your minuses, everything. Because you can't have one without the other. No one is perfect. I'm still constantly fighting my food battle, but I'm getting things back in order. I'm feeling good. I'm working out. Got my diet back together. But I know it's going to be a struggle always for me, because that's just who I am. And I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with loving me as I am, as a work in progress. And I hope you're okay with that for yourself. And I hope you're just taking stock and really enjoying the small things in life, the things that were in such jeopardy in the last couple of years, the things that we didn't get to do, being with our families, traveling together, sitting around at a table, eating together. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the money. It's not about putting a big bow on some luxury vehicle. It's about being able to see your grandparents and your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews and the friends that make you feel bigger and stronger and more powerful. The people that believe in you, even when you don't believe in yourself. To me, that's the true holiday spirit. Also that in like cocoa and peppermint chocolates. Those are, I love those. That's a good flavor. I know some people don't like peppermint and chocolate, but shit, put them together for me. I'm all about it. And as I, not getting old, but I'm getting closer to 40 and things are just changing for me and I'm becoming more simple. I just like simple things. I just want to enjoy my life. I want to enjoy watching my pro wrestling from 1993 and 94. I want to enjoy my son and watching his little goatee fill in and become a young man. I want to enjoy my wife as I watch her just become more and more strong and outgoing and confident in her abilities, and knowing just how valuable and beautiful she is. And the same with me, and same with my friends. It's a good time. It's a good time to be alive because there's opportunities everywhere. It's Wild West. There's things that we didn't know about years ago, and the things that are popping up every day. And some of them are scams. You see the NFTs popping up, and some of them are opportunities. And it's your job to search out which is which and have fun and enjoy your life. And don't get caught up in chasing these bullshits. You know, there's always something. There's always something that's promising that can change your life around. And to me, though, that's always a sign of a trick, right? Because, like, I want my life. I love my life. I just want my life to keep going in a positive direction. I don't want to change my life. I don't want to have a different life. I don't want someone else's life. I just want chance. I just want a chance, an opportunity to show my skills, show my abilities. And I think that's all you can ask for. That's the pursuit of happiness, the ability to go for it, the ability to go out and get it. Not that it's promised to you, not that you will get it, not that someone has to hand you something, but just having an opportunity by getting up in the morning, having a mind, having a hustle mentality, but also having a mentality of balance, of knowing that you can't work 7 days a week and have a fulfilling life and enjoy your friends and stuff around you. You got to have a balance back and forth. And I know this is a real rambly one, but if you listen for the nuggets, they're there. They're good. There's some good joy nuggets for you. And just to get close to Christmas, just getting less into gifts, which maybe is because I have more money now. The more money to have, the less I want to buy people gifts. Is that how it works? Is that how Scrooge works? But I just want to be around my friends and eat a good meal and have a good time, have good conversations like the one we had this week. Ooh, good segue. I didn't know this about me, and I didn't know that this was rare, but people keep telling me from this interview and the one we have coming up in the future that not a lot of our peers praise each other, apparently, and say when we see something that delights us and makes us happy. And I guess I can't say I haven't noticed that. I do notice that because I notice how much I do it and how much I don't necessarily see it returned for me. But that's not why I do it. And that's what I tell myself whenever I'm like, oh, okay, nobody's retweeting this for me. It's just that I do just like to celebrate when I see things that make me happy because I don't like most things. I don't enjoy the majority of the work I see. And so when I see something that truly makes me happy, that makes me think, that makes me want to work harder, that makes me inspired, I love to tell the people and I love to be able to share some conversations with them. And that's what we have this week. A comedian who I have been aware of, I've seen around, but never got to spend any time talking with him. And now that I did, I won't be this dude's best friend if he'll have me. he's a hilarious comedian, actor. Just seems like a real renaissance man, and just a guy who seems like he got a good head on his shoulders. Family man, I love all of it. Got a great special out on HBO, HBO Max, that you can check out called Here's Everything. Please enjoy our conversation with Ricky Velez. Enjoy it.
Hey Ron, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you doing?
good. Nice Sunday, you know.
Did you still take someone else's Zoom account?
Is it not saying it's my, oh, that's my wife. Is there a way I can not show that?
I thought you might want to get rid of that. I'm just going to get right started into this, if you don't mind. Man.
Yeah.
I like to start my podcast by telling people why I wanted them and why I invited them on. And for you, it's going to be a compliment that starts off slightly as an insult. So I hope you don't hate
the
beginning.
Oh, we'll see. I mean...
we watched your special, really loved it, and my wife she started watching it first. Usually when it comes to comedy specials, just being a comedian, I'm sure you might understand, I don't like to watch too many comedy specials. I like to just kind of stay in my own little world and make what I make, and then occasionally visit a few others, and my wife is usually the one who's like, let's watch a lot more comedy, let's get... She loves a lot of different people, and she was interested in watching yours. She watched the first 5 minutes and stopped and was like, you need to watch this. She's like, you're going to love it. And I went to start to watch it, and the first thing all I saw you in the movie. I think I ran into you just randomly, perhaps in Montreal, New York, but I never really talked with you and never really seen you do a long set ever. And the first thing, like, I see is, like, you know, like, direct Judd Apatow and then produced by Pete Davidson. And I immediately am like, oh, okay, what's going to be this? Whenever I see, like, produced by another comedian, I'm always like, oh, okay, the old friendship deal. If you want something from me, you got to also get my friend a thing. And then usually I'm like, I'm not going to enjoy it. But completely the opposite. Best special I've seen all year to me. Like, extremely my shit. Just beautiful, personal, weird, fun, silly. And then my favorite thing in any comedian is that, like, I came out of it feeling like I learned more about you and wanting to know more about you. And that's the best thing I love with any comedy special. And so I just was like, immediately was like, man, I gotta reach out and see if I can just chop it up with him and learn more about his views on comedy and his views on life.
I want to actually thank you. I was like really, really taken back by your compliments and what you said. And I think that's cool, because I don't think a lot of comics do what you did.
What do you mean?
I just mean, I heard about it through somebody else that called me and was like, yo, Ron Funches is going off about your special. And we don't know each other in the way we just said, like, we've seen each other here and there, but nothing too personal. And I just thought it was very cool what you did.
I appreciate that. But I think I love comedy. And mm-hmm. when you see something that you enjoy, and which for me sometimes is rare, I've always loved champion comedy. I'm not threatened by other comedy. I love comedy that makes me inspired to do more comedy. And that's the best compliment I can give. And that's what your special did for me. It made me want to focus more and be like, oh, what's the next thing I really want to say in my life? And like, and also just that it reaffirms some of my viewpoints, where I've been working on this thing where even now where I'm like, oh, I'm a mild take guy. I'm a medium take guy. I don't have strong takes, which seems to be like the backbone of comedy right now. It's like having extremely strong of opinions about shit that does not normally matter to you. And what I really loved about your special is how like realistic it was and how real it was, and just simple things of you even just being like, I fuck with America heavily, I love this country. That's like such a rare take, and something I believe in, especially growing up in a small town. Like, you know, I was from Chicago, but I end up in this town called Salem, Oregon, and it's just like this little shitty small town that to me is kind of like an everyday full American scope town, but it's full of people either trying to like continue to make it shitty, but there's this small pocket of people who are like, I'm gonna do art here, I'm gonna bring things here, I'm gonna bring a positive here. And I think that's what like the real American spirit is seeing like opportunity and chaos, seeing the beauty even in the fact that things aren't perfect. And I don't see a lot of people normally talk about that. And I don't know if I was putting words in your mouth when saying that, but I just enjoyed that. So maybe I should ask you more about that. You tell me a bit more about that.
I think I take it more on the sense of like, I see, and I don't like to say luck a lot, but at the same time, how lucky I feel with like what I've been allowed to do and see. And like, I have friends that haven't been on planes. So, I mean, it's just, I'm very thankful for all that stuff. And I've always been very thankful for that stuff. So getting to do it here, and you know, like I have friends that like fought in Iraq and fought in Afghanistan and the rest of that. So like watching that and then being able to go tell jokes, it just makes me very grateful for America, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, just being able to leave Queens and go and do what I do. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, stand-up and comedy in general is a very American art form.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just, you go to other countries and you're like, man, they're 20 years behind on comedy because the infrastructure is not in there. You go try to do comedy in Australia, there's only like four places you can go.
Yeah, there's no like, it's a very, I went to Sweden and I remember I was talking about smoking weed on stage and it was bombing and I just didn't understand why. And then when I got off stage, they're like, yo, we don't talk about that in public. I was like, oh, that's weird. I don't understand that.
Yeah. No, it's just a true freedom of speech thing that is, to me, like more alive than ever at a time where people keep talking about like, you can't say anything. It's cancel culture. But I'm like, if you really look around at everything, like it's yeah.
And it's also, I think a lot of comedians believe that they need a mortal enemy mm-hmm. to do what we do. But I don't believe in that. I think funny is just funny.
I agree with that.
But I don't like having too many motives when I jump on stage. Like, I can definitely have a conversation with somebody to understand why they don't like America, and that's fine. I just try to take my senses of how I feel about things and put them out there, but it's not like do or die with me. Like, I had a lot of people jump at me because I said don't defund the police. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's like I didn't really go that far into researching it before I said that. It was a joke about pigeons. Like, it wasn't really about defunding the police, but like, it's just, I don't know. I think people just hold on to things. And especially it's like, it's comedy. We're supposed to be silly. We're supposed to be funny. We're supposed to be grabbing your attention. And that's what I try to do. I don't try to have too many motives behind everything I do.
Yeah. That's what I think. What I enjoyed about your special so much is, and related to, was this overall sense of like, I'm here to help create a good time. I'm not here to like, and I'm not, you know, there's a few specials where there is just like this, like, I'm here to tear down society or build up this new wall. And it's just like, oh, well, I mean, good luck with that. But like, I had a rough day and I came here to have a good time, you know? And that's something, I don't know where that came from with me, but like, I was taught very early, like at the end of the day, this job is like, I always want to be silly and I want to entertain. And I think also the repetitive nature of this job of doing it multiple shows a night and stuff. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't want to carry that energy of being like, everything sucks and the world's like falling apart. I want to be like, man, here's the positive side of even negative situations. I think that might just have come from my personal life experience, but
I think it's completely draining too after pandemic.
Yes.
And I was actually talking to Rosebud Baker about this last night, but it's like everybody came out of the pandemic an entrepreneur in something. And like everybody just like no longer like do I see comics talking about jokes as much as I see them talking about the business. Mm. And I don't know, the environment has definitely changed. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I don't know if I love it, but I always love stand up, but the environment around it, I don't know if it's completely healthy right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, there certainly are things that are changing, but I feel like that's always the case, right? Like there's always within the business of it, within the industry, there's so much negative, so much of like, within the industry, you know, racism, homophobia, whatever, whatever you want to call it.
All of them. Any industry, the racism industry is killing it right now.
Yeah, that one's murdering it. That one's really on fire. but no, I just want to know, tell me more about that. Tell me more. What are you seeing in that?
I just think, I think after Trump and pandemic and the rest of that, that people are kind of feeding into that world and like what, how he used like his voice to like grab people. I think comics are starting to do the same thing and I don't like it. I feel like cancel culture has its own audience now.
No, I tweeted something about that recently where I was like, cancel culture just seems to be like, to me, it reminds me of like those like 90s marketing tools of like parental advisory stickers of being like, no, your parents, the government doesn't want you to listen to this. And it's just like, you're not saying shit. Like, it's the same jokes that you were doing about like Mexicans and like, well, what if we had a Mexican airline? The airplane would be a lowrider. But now like, oh, I'd get canceled if I said that. It's like, no, it's just a shitty joke. And it was always a shitty joke.
It's the Mortal Kombat with the blood.
Yes.
It's not doing much. It's not changing much. It's just the hysterical. No, I do believe that. I think people are trying to are going after topics more than they are trying to be funny.
Yes.
And that's hard. It's hard to be around.
It's hard to be around. I agree. But I feel like in some ways, like that's what helps you stand out, right? Like
when, absolutely.
When you see something different. I noticed that too. When like, because you, not that it's different, but like all comedians, like 80% of comedians used to always like work with these same topics, right? And it used to be more like mundane things, like you see all these jokes about kale, or you see all these jokes about like
there was a very long kale stage in comedy.
Absolutely there was. Yeah. But now it seems like they have done it and took it to like political things and identity issues, where like you have to have a joke about, you know, transgender rights, or you have to have the joke thing. But to me, I've always just enjoyed, whether it's in music, whether it's in comedy or whatever, I've always enjoyed being like, oh, I feel like that motherfucker lived that. So unless you have like, you know, you are transgender, or you have someone who is in your family that you can show me some personal jokes, like, why do I care about your opinion about that? That's something I've really been struggling in, like most comedy. I'm like, I don't really give a fuck about what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's why I thought this special was important, just to explain who the fuck I am, you know, like where I could have came out and went over topics and the rest of that. But I feel like that's important to do in your second special once people already know who you are. And I don't know, you've done a few. So I is that how you look at it, or is it more?
I kind of fall in this mindset of like, I'm always reintroducing myself and whatever I'm doing. There might be a part where I get into it quicker. Like I introduce myself just within the first 5 minutes, as opposed to my first like half hour or wherever I'm like, this is just me. This is who I am. And this is who I want you to get to know me. And then the back maybe 5 minutes is more like opinions, where now I can introduce myself quicker. But I feel lately I just been trying to focus on being myself in any situation. Like I've been trying to take more gigs like outside of like kind of like when I first started. When I first started in Oregon, I worked a lot of freaking like moose lodges and coffee houses. And it was interesting to be like, oh, I can tell these same jokes about Rugrats to like 20-year-olds and also 50-year-olds. And they might not get the reference, but it forces me to build in between that, to, you know, find a base level that I can explain myself easier. And each thing I do, I think I'm just trying to like get more to the core of myself quicker and more go deeper into myself. It's the same thing with my therapy. Now I feel like I'm just talking about my therapy.
That's fair. Yeah. Did you do therapy before pandemic? Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, luckily, yes. It was very, I was happy that I was doing that before. Basically, I started doing therapy a couple of weeks after I met my wife, after started dating her. And I was like, I think I'm going to want to keep her. And I know I have these patterns of pushing people away at a certain point. And I was like, let me see if I can try to nip that in the bud before I do this to her.
Yeah, pandemic did it to me. That was the first time I ever seen a therapist.
Mm.
And like, I go in and out of it, because when I have stand up again, I cannot need therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I guess, the misconnection of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I very much enjoyed it. But now, like, the world's back, I don't need her.
you might let me ask you a question about where you are with stand-up right now, because you got the special out, and from what I read about, right, this is like a kind of a collection of like things you've been working on pretty much like over your whole career, right? Like this is your first special. Yeah. And so now you're kind of at this space of real rebuilding, right? And so how do you feel?
So it was really cool, honestly, because we flipped it. I taped August 28th. It came out October 23rd.
That's a good turnaround.
Right? So we were moving fast on this. And then I took this interview with Vulture where they were talking about people that lose all their material and have to rebuild. And I decided, I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then the guy was like, can I come around to all your spots with you for a while? And it was just, it kind of put my ass to the burner to get out there and actually do it. And it kind of felt amazing because I went from like, it was like free falling, but trying to stay above water. Like it felt like something I haven't done in a long time. There was nothing safe about it. There was nothing like, and I really liked being back in that spot. So right now, as I'm like rebuilding, it's interesting because, you know, I get to work with some of these guys that are just so like John Mulaney. I just got to work with him in Long Beach. And I just like, you see these guys and what they're writing about and what they're talking about. He's going through something in life where he has all this material towards, and for a while I was stuck being like, what am I going to talk about now? Like, I can't just talk about me. And then I'm back up there talking about myself again. So it's been a lot of fun, and it actually made me realize like why I love stand up again.
Because
I think for a bit, like, you know, after pandemic, I had 5 months to be on the road to get the special down. So like, it was a very intense 5 months. It felt like work.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it just feels like, it feels like jazz again, which is cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's always, I feel like it's such a fun place to be when you can let go. I feel like there's some comedians who can't let go, right? And they can't continue to try to hold on to that older material. But what I loved about like feeling that fear of being like, oh, what am I going to talk about now? Ooh, I have nothing. I'm basically starting over. But then being like, oh, I have a better skill set though now. I know myself better now. I know what I like to talk about a little bit more now, and finding that it comes quicker and it comes stronger. And yeah. I think, like, man, you have a great people around you working with. John was like one of the first people. I mean, I remember I was living in Oregon still. I hadn't even moved to LA, and John took me on the road for about like 5 or 6 dates and showed me all these different like bigger rooms, and like had me in New York where I was like, man, you could get any, you here in New York, you could get anybody in New York. Why are you bringing me from Oregon to New York? And it was like watching him work and watching him just how meticulous he is in it and just how professional. I was like, I really learned. I feel like I truly learned how to be a professional comedian from working with John. So I feel like, I mean, you couldn't be under better circumstances there. That's got to be really.
Yeah, I definitely feel that with John, and he's just the best. He really is. Him, Pete, it's always been great to me. And then also just working with Judd has been amazing. So, I mean, I think Judd does like Jedi stuff. Like, he doesn't even like tell you like how to write jokes or nothing. He just like gives you experiences where you're just like, oh, I know I should be writing. I know what I should be doing right now. Okay.
Yeah, man. Really.
Is that me or you?
That was you me. For sure. That was not me.
I'm in a different apartment from my wife. There's no way that was me.
No, but if people can see your face, if anyone watches YouTube, they'll know it was you. It was.
I didn't see anything pop up. I just heard it. God damn. Dude, this is the worst thing about pandemic is I'm just going to get it right. As it's like when I move into a house. Mm-hmm. And then I don't figure out the lights until we move out. Like, we're a week away from moving out, and I finally know how to walk in the house and get shit on.
You're like, oh, there's a full dimmer? I thought it was just off and on.
Dude, I had to do a bunch of PR for the King of Staten Island and for my special on Zoom, and I'm telling you, I'm still not good at it.
That's fine. But you were good in the movie as well. I really enjoyed you in the movie. Enjoyed the King of Staten Island, but I don't have any questions about it.
Please.
I have none. I don't. I should, but I just enjoy. I just want to say I enjoyed you in it. Very realistic. You were very funny, hilarious in it. That was it. I guess I just want to ask you more about, like, where do you see yourself going in your career? Do you more just acting, stand up? How do you see yourself?
So Judd has like really let me step in on like the producing and writing side.
Nice.
And I really, really enjoy that a lot. And I've been able to like meet with all these new directors. Not new directors, but directors that I'm new to. And I'm just like, you know, I've been very lucky to get to be able to shadow Judd for the last 3 years. Like that was huge. And we formed our own relationship, and he's just the greatest. And I mean, me and Pete have another movie we're putting together. Me and Judd have something else. And then I'm working with another director. So like, I'm having so much fun with stand-up, but right now, like, I think it might be the time to take the pivot into something else, or, you know, there's a real acting gigs being thrown at me where it's like, oh, do I want to step away from comedy and really like challenge myself? So, right now I'm just really looking at all these opportunities and, hoping and that I'm taking them for all they're worth. And, it's been really, really fun. And I just don't want to oversay some stuff, but like, I'm meeting with this director now, and he's been in Cannes, and he's been in like in every single, like, and he's just a guy that makes art. And it's just cool to be in the room with people that are that artistic. Like, he wants to film something about a certain place, and he called me last week and he was like, let's go. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, let's just go. Let's go there. And I was like, all right. So now, like, next weekend I have to go on a bus to some random ass town. But it's like just cool to like see how much these people throw themselves into their art the way we do in mm-hmm. stand up, but they do it in a different way.
Was stand up always your first love? How did you get involved with it?
I started in theater. I went to Frank Sinatra School of the Arts in Queens. So that's actually like how I ended up like meeting people from Manhattan and shit. Cause I lived so far out in Queens that you never went to Manhattan. I never had friends from Brooklyn. I stayed in my neighborhood. And Frank Sinatra opened that up to me. Tony Bennett was one of the founders. So he was around. And yeah, I did theater, but like at that age, I was so ignorant and like just not ready for the education they were trying to give us. Like they had me in breathing class. I thought I was going to be like playing zip, zap, zoop every day. Like I didn't know. I didn't know how serious this was going to be. And by my senior year, I was completely jaded from it. So I walked away, and then I dropped out of college and got denied to the military. And then when that happened, I started doing stand-up while I was working for a carpet company. And I mean, my first show was good, and that made me come back. And then I had a couple bad ones, and then found out how, and then started working for a club. And then I just started doing stand-up, and I was good at it quickly. And I had a lot of older comics really jump in and like help me and tell me what to do. And I had one comic just be like, don't leave this club until you're like, you have that time. And I stayed at one club for 3 years. I worked the front door. It was great. It taught me a lot. Because it's very easy to go into a comedy club too and see like, that guy's good, mm-hmm. that guy's bad, mm-hmm. that guy's good. And then watch consistency. Like once you can find it out in a week, really, if you... I think the hardest part about all of this has been making it a business instead of just something I enjoy and love.
That's found. What are the difficulties in that for you?
I'm not a businessman. I'm not the guy that walks around and shakes hands and says hi and makes sure I don't do all the checklists. I'm mm-hmm. like kind of in my zone, and I like to really do what I do. But then often you're asked to do these other things, and it's just like, I'm not good at parties. I'm not good.
Yeah. But I mean, do you have, I've heard, how old are you, Ricky?
I'm 32.
32. Okay. Just a few years younger than me. Cause I hear that from a lot of younger comedians sometimes, but I always feel like whatever your path is your path. I feel like parties, sometimes that is your path, right? Like sometimes you are the guy who does need to network and does need to party mm-hmm. in order to do that. That you're not going to do it if you don't do that. But sometimes, like I've told this straight, like we talked to Taylor Tomlinson, and I was like, you don't. And she was like, oh, they keep telling me, people are telling me I need to network, I need to party. And I was like, no, they need to, because they don't have your talent. You're going to make it because you're talented and your work ethic, and people will come to find you. And I mean, I don't know you, but from just talking with you and from seeing the bit of work that you've done, it seems like the same with you. Like you don't even have a Twitter or something, from at least from the research that I looked up. So
I want to be off of it all. Like, I don't like any of that stuff. It gives me anxiety. I don't. Yeah. It's not my cup of tea at all.
I don't think you have to do it because you're talented. And people will just come find you. It's what's been happening in your life.
Yes, it is.
So
you have a great perspective. I enjoy it. I can't wait to call my manager on Monday and be like, I'm deleting my Instagram. Ron Funch has said I can.
I mean, if it causes you anxiety, I mean, you know, there's always people who will just do that for you. But like, I firmly believe in that. Like, yeah, sure, maybe you're going to miss out in like some Instagram accounts wanting to give you 50 grand because you have all these fucking followers, but you're not going to miss out on an acting gig. You're not going to miss out on specials. You're not going to miss out on any of that because you haven't. You know what I mean? So like, it's already, the proof is already in the pudding on that to me. So if I just would just do what works for you, because it seems to be working for you, man.
So far, so good.
It's the holidays. It's a beautiful, fun, and hectic time. We can run around so much that sometimes you forget about what you want to eat tonight. Maybe you want a home-cooked favorite, but you don't feel like going to the store again and being bombarded with people. Or maybe you want to try something exciting and new, but you would prefer to stay in tonight. DoorDash connects you with everything you want whenever and however you want it. Now, this past year has taught us to savor every moment. Spend less time prepping and cooking and more time chatting and laughing with the people you love and eating the food that you love with the help of DoorDash. You know, I use DoorDash. Who doesn't use DoorDash? Especially as a traveling comedian all over the road. Sometimes I need to find something healthy, find something nutritious, and I don't know the local restaurants. Well, I just put in my DoorDash app, I type in healthy, and then options come up for me that are quick and easy. And with over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-to or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, Cheesecake Factory. Ooh, ordering is easy and the items can be left safely outside your door when you choose contactless delivery drop-off. And for a limited time, our listeners of the Getting Better podcast can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download that DoorDash app and enter the code FUNCHES. That's 25% off up to a $10 value, zero delivery fees on your first order when you download that DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code FUNCHES. Don't forget the code FUNCHES, 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, and you know terms apply. I want to give a full year-long holiday thank you to one of our biggest supporters of the podcast and a place that's supporting people in general. That's a BetterHelp. BetterHelp wants to know what's interfering with your happiness. What's going on? The holidays were a very stressful time. Are you stuck with your family? Are you stuck with feelings of regret of things you did not accomplish? Do you just suffer from anxiety? Well, talk to a personal licensed therapist in a very easy and online environment thanks to BetterHelp. It's private, it's affordable, it is not a crisis line, so if you are in need of immediate help, please contact someone in your area. But they do have licensed professional counselors who specialize in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, relationships, trauma, self-esteem, anger. I know we all got something on that list. I know I do. Anything you share is, of course, confidential. It is convenient, professional, affordable. And why believe me? Check out the testimonials posted daily on their site. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're currently recruiting. If you are a licensed professional therapist, go get yourself a job at BetterHelp. You know, here at Getting Better Podcast, we are about taking charge of your mental health. And I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you can get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/Funches. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Funches. 10% off your first month.
Once you have a kid, I mean, you have a kid. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, once you have a kid, like, I just feel like you're always trying to know what the next 5 years is going to be.
And yeah.
But I don't know how you would say about your career. And I have felt this, especially more in the last 3 years than ever, was like, it's kind of gone the way I've always expected, but it's nothing has gone to plan.
Yes. 100%. I always say in my career, I have never gotten anything I've wanted, but I've always gotten something better.
Yeah, that's a good way. I like that. That's fair.
I always wanted to do something else. I always want to be in this project. I wanted to be Matt. Speaking of John, I wanted to be on Mulaney so bad. I wanted to be on that show. I was like, man, this is going to be it. This is my buddy. Da, da, da. I auditioned for the Seton Smith part and like just didn't get it. And I was so crushed. And then I ended up getting another show, which, you know, wasn't like gangbusters, but it lasted long enough that I was able to like get a foothold, learn some things, go get my acting classes together, get my health together, meet people who still, you know, help me to this day. And I'm like, oh, if things had gone another way, and especially how negative people were talking about that show, and like, but John was going to be fine. Is the rest of the people who you have to be like, well, I got to swim for myself now. And I don't know if I could have done that at that time, you know?
Yeah.
So I always feel like, and the hard part is always for me is just trusting that, you know? Cause like, even to this day, like I was working on a show about me, my son and I, and like, you know, just pushing it and working on it for 4 or 5 years and finally getting some no's where I had to be like, oh, I just have to trust like, that I'm going to figure something out and it'll work out in another way. And then I just create because I like to create. It doesn't have to be in the exact form that I foresaw when I was young. Cause like that causes me nothing but stress. Like when I wanted so badly to be like, I want to be on a Netflix and da da da. And I read something in an interview of yours that struck with me where you were like, well, when I was a kid, Netflix wasn't around. HBO was around, and that's what meant something to me. And that's how I felt about my Comedy Central special, because those were the ones I'd watch. I'd watch those HBO ones where you see Dave Chappelle and all those people sitting around the table, and I'd watch those Comedy Central half hours and hours. And getting that to me, like, I think that's a lot what we're talking about, right? Is like the difference between people getting so caught up in the business of like, I got to do what's hot now, what's popular now. I think
that's what we're running into a lot now, where you're seeing a lot more content than you're seeing art.
Brother, I've been talking about that every day for weeks. I hate it so much. Cause that's.
And then you're like, you're watching this wag-ass shit and you're like, am I doing enough? Like, am I doing enough? But this ain't even like it's. I just there's so much going on where it's like I just if you can just focus on yourself and like, I mean, there also does come down to just like the idea of where will you be happy in how much you put out, and some of it that I see just doesn't even look like they're enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I've worked with like, you know, a couple of big name actors on occasion. And I remember watching someone and being like, oh, like they're not even here. Like they're 2 meetings ahead. They're on another set right now, you know? And I was like, I'm sure they're making a buttload of cash, but like, they're missing out on fun that they could be having on being in the moment here of like finding an improvised joke here, you know, of instead of being like, okay, this is what we're doing. That's what you need. We're done now. And that's where I never want to get to is this point of like, where we're not playing anymore, where we're just like trying to clock when it is, because I've worked on some sitcoms where they're like, it was a straight 9 to 5. They were just trying to go home. And I'm like, I like to problem solve. I like to play. I like to always remember that I want it to be here, you know?
Yeah. The want to get up and go do it is very important. And I've had that. I've gotten there where it was like a 9 to 5. And it was just like, oof, why am I even wasting my time doing this? But there's something right now that like, I don't know. I think people think just being loud is going to do more. But then again, I don't know the right play to it, honestly. I just like, I like to spend time. I like to spend a lot of time on things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we dropped one joke out of my special. One. And like that, that was a long decision. that was a long decision. But at the same time, I think people need to take more time with what they're doing because a lot of it feels cheap.
Mm-hmm. It's craftsmanship. And it's something I very enjoy. I always bring things to pro wrestling because I love pro wrestling so much. But I always love Bret Hart because everything that he always did seemed with purpose. There was no wasted movement. And that's something I try to bring to my comedy. And going another way, I'm sure, as you know, there's just a few years ago, there was this big drive of like putting out an hour every year, right? Like, and churning out this material and this industrial kind of impact to it. And I would always get caught up in the same thing of being like, oh, am I doing enough? I'm putting out enough work. And it took me back to going like, well, my favorite artist, my favorite rap group of all time is Outkast. And they never put out an album every year. They never put out an album every 2 years. They put an album out every 4 to 5 years, and it changed the face of the game every time because they allowed themselves to evolve. They allowed themselves to change. And especially, I think, I don't want to speak for you, but I think in some of the art that I try to do, it is so personal. It is so about my life that if I don't allow my life to change, if I don't allow myself to go through things, I don't have it. It's just not going to be, I am going to start reaching for like things I don't care about. And I don't, I never want that to be part of my job. I never want to be.
It's why I like Kanye over Drake. Drake been rapping about not having good friends for 5 albums. He's been rapping about the same shit. Every time Kanye does something, it's different. No matter what it is. If you look at those albums, you just go, look how much he's changed in every single thing he's put out. And like, he doesn't put out a lot. I think that year thing came with Louis, right? Mm-hmm. That's where it started up.
Yep.
And I just think he was a different beast. And for people trying to mimic that, it's like trying to mimic another artist's technique is just plagiarism.
Mm. Man, I like that. I like how your mind works. We usually just ask about goals. You talked a little bit about your goals, about the directing and about more acting and maybe moving and stuff, but also just like personal wise, health wise, family wise, whatever you're willing to share with us. We're very goal oriented. What are you working towards, Ricky?
I got a 3-year-old now. He just started school. He's really happy. He's a great kid too. So one of my goals is just to keep that flowing the way it is. He's at the age now where he notices when I leave and when I come home and doesn't like when daddy goes to work and the rest of that. So I want to in the next 5 years be able to work that into my job a little bit more. Like, I'm taking off the month of June this year. Which I've never done. I've never taken off time. So I just really want to like pay attention to my family and keep that ecosystem running very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then health-wise, I don't know. I feel like I get really, really healthy when I'm really, really like in the midst of something. But when I have that time off, I treat myself terribly. To the point I have to get so healthy that I feel okay that I've balanced out the year.
Mm.
So I would like a little bit more balance to that. And what was the other one? Family, health, and...
Family, health, career, spiritual. That's what we do.
Spiritual. I've been working with this guy. He's kind of like a shaman in a way, but he also is in kinesiology as well, so like straightening out the body and all that. And when I work with him, I feel the most clear. So I want to continue that because that definitely helps me connect spiritually. being clear is very important to me.
How long have you been married, Ricky?
I've been with my wife for 10 years. We've been married for 3, and I've married her twice. I'm gonna marry her 3 times this year when we have 10-year anniversary.
That's nice. That's beautiful.
Marrying her. Yeah, it's funny.
That's so rare in our business. Why? How come? What makes you so family oriented? What? Tell me a bit more about this.
I don't know. I met my wife when I was 23, and I met her in LA, and I hated LA. I hated. And she made me like it again. And I was like, something about how she made me look at the world differently and not be so mad at it. And then the family oriented stuff is like, I kind of like want to hold together what wasn't held together for me in a way. I like breaking the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in ways my family was good, but when you look at it through a microscope, it was definitely flawed. And you know, my kid didn't ask to come into this world. I brought him into it, so I'm gonna give him the best he can have. Yeah, that's like really important to me, that he's okay. I don't know if the world will let him be okay, but mm-hmm. I'm doing the best I can to make sure that's okay. Weird.
Nothing weird about that. It's a nice roots to you. There's nice balance in with your family and with your goals that seem like it would allow you to navigate the business of LA and the kind of like people get lost in the bullshittery. I had a friend come over the last week. We're like, oh, I came into LA and now I'm at Chris Brown's house for a Drake party. And I'm like, you might want to get out of there. You're headed in a bad direction.
And you signed an NDA, so stop talking about it. I'm like, I agree. I think, but I think in a way you can even do those things, but at the end of the day, your priorities need to be 100% correct. Because mm-hmm. I mean, we see it probably more than a lot of other people, of like these comics that started families, left them. And like, you see those guys, and I'm not trying to go after nobody, but like, you see those guys sitting at the bar at 2-3 o'clock in the morning talking to bitches, and you're like, mm-hmm. What are you doing? Go home. You haven't had a spot since 11.
Yeah.
So that stuff, that bums me out. I don't know. After having a kid, I just became very, very, very like, in touch with, if it affects children, I have a tough time with it.
Mm. No, I think that's absolutely, I mean, that's beautiful to have. Some people, I think it goes one way or the other. Like my son was the blessing of my life. I didn't have my son. I had my son when I was 23, or excuse me, 20. I had my son when I was 20. And if I didn't have him.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 20 when I had him. He was diagnosed with autism when I was 22. I got into comedy when I was 23. And it was all because, you know, I think with a lot of guys, they go one way or the other. They're like, I can't handle this. I don't want to handle this responsibility, so I'm going to run away. Or like you, like, you know, at least with my family, I came from a broken home. And I was like, I never want my son to have to go through some of the things I went through. And also, I just had a more of a standard for him, like things that I was willing to put up for myself, living in a shitty little apartment in Salem, Oregon, just fucking like just gross little place. But as soon as my son was born, it was like that when I was like, oh, this place is gross. I didn't know it was gross until he was born. And it was a motivating thing for me. And I would have never got when he had autism. And then I was like, oh, I need to find a career that was the, like, I would have known when to believe in myself enough to do comedy if it wasn't for my son. And
it's interesting because you come off as somebody with no ego, but when you do have it, it's for your kid. I feel the same way, though. I feel that way.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do. I have an ego. I just know where to put it. I put it on stage where I, because that's where I have success. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm good here. I know I'm good here. You can't tell me I'm not good here. Enough people have told me. And I've gone through enough experiences.
I don't have that. Somebody could stand up in the middle of the room and just be like, I don't like you. And I would quit tomorrow.
Well, I feel like you gotta choose who you listen to. That's where it came to me. I was like, oh yeah, some random person who doesn't go to a lot of comedy shows told me I sucked, but Wanda Sykes told me I was great. So who am I gonna fucking believe? I probably should believe Wanda Sykes.
Oh man, that's so funny. I've never thought about it like that. Yeah, I guess so. Huh?
Yeah. Go with the experts.
Hilarious.
But in regular life and shit, I don't know what's going on. I mean, my main mantra in life is just like, man, I'm not better than anybody else. Nobody's better than me. And I just try to keep it in neutral. Like, which sometimes causes problems when I can tell people think they are better than me, but then I just gotta let it go.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I it's interesting, especially when you bring it to the kids stuff, because the kids stuff, like, it changed my whole perspective on all of it. Also made me less aggressive. Mm-hmm. Took all that away from me. Because it was like, because you also realize, and I can't even imagine, God bless you, your kid with autism, like, you really learn you have no control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a valuable lesson. That's such a valuable lesson. I think so many people don't get. They try to control everything in their life, and they get mad at the things they can't control. And when you learn to give that up, and, you know, and I think having my son have be on the spectrum was a thing for me, that where I was like, oh, okay, I kind of have to give up all expectations. And that was like, I have no I have a lot of hope and no expectations. And we just going to get up every day.
Finding a happiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. That's great. Wow. How old was he when he found out?
When he was two, you know, pretty early, we knew things were like a little different because he was just regressing in speech. We thought he might be deaf for a moment because he just wouldn't respond to things. And that was, you know, truly, that was the hardest part of all of it. And he was only sleeping. He would sleep from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every day, like, for months to a year. And this is him at like 1.5, 2. So we're like, and I had to be at work at like 5:30. So that fucking was the worst part of my life. I had a call center job where I was working at 5:30 a.m. and just not knowing what was wrong with my son. Like, the diagnosis at least was like, oh, at least now I can research some things. Now I can find some things. But when I didn't know why he was acting that way, that was the hard, that was like the roughest part of my life.
Wow, man, that's really tough. I feel bad that you went through that, but I'm glad for you.
Thank you, Ricky.
Very cool.
I appreciate that.
Kids, man, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's what people say, but then, you know, I guess it depends on that person, because it does refocus you. And I feel, man, you got that good. I feel like your kid really gives you that focus, right? Gives you that balance. Yeah. So sometimes do it, especially if you're 20. Just do it. See if it works out.
Get out there and get pregnant, 20-year-old. sponsored by Ron Funches.
Yeah, you could end up in Trolls.
That's great.
Anything else you're excited about? I'm gonna let you go on our last question in a second, but is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you're excited about in life? Anything that you've been going through recently?
I'm excited for this year to end. I'm excited in a way for the world to continue get back to normal. You know, here in New York, I think it's a lot different from LA, but we've been able to get very close to normal here. I'm excited for that. I'm hoping with that calms down the nation, but with that, I just very much try to focus on what I'm doing and make the people that want me to make them laugh, make them laugh. And that's what I'm excited to do for the next couple months. I'm going to go back on the road. Excited to be going back to like my favorite clubs, going back to Comedy Works in Denver, one of my favorite places in the world.
Absolutely.
San Fran, just all the fun ones, getting back out there and just learning this new material. And yeah, I'm excited for what's ever coming because we can't figure it out.
Yeah, man. I like you, Ricky. I like it because it seemed like you've really worked yourself into freedom, into having the life that you want with the people around you that you want, and working with people that you want, that, and working with legends and being in a beautiful position. And you seem also very grateful and aware of that, but also at least, you know, and somewhat aware that you do deserve it. So
in a way, I'm kind of bummed it took us this long to have a conversation. But I'm glad that I got to speak with you because you're cool as fuck. And I think we would be friends.
I thought that when I watched your special. That's what I said to my wife. I didn't want to lead with that in this interview. I didn't want to be like, I watched your special, and then I turned to my wife and be like, we would be friends, right? Me.
Next time I'm in LA, I'm calling you. We meeting up.
Yeah, man. As soon as I heard that story of you buying drugs in other countries, I was like, yes, that would be exactly what happened to me and my wife being like, oh, there's this guy yelling at you from the ocean.
Bro, how mad what my wife was that day. Was unbelievable.
It's a good bit. It's a beautiful bit. People got to check it out. Your comedy special on HBO, HBO Max. Here's everything. The last thing, also, I'll just tell you quickly. I think the mess my wife ever got is when I went to Osaka, Japan, and there was a English speaking comedy club there, and I was like, they had an open mic, and so I was like, cool, I'll go check it out. I thought I was just gonna hop up on this open mic, but then they saw some of my credits and they tried to build a show around me, and so then they had me like headline it, but I had brought a lot of edibles into Japan, and so I was already about good 60 milligrams in when I got on stage, and I had not been on stage in about 3 weeks at that time because I was on vacation. And so I bombed terribly and kept asking her for help. And my wife was so mad, the maddest I've ever seen her. But I was like, you got to understand, this is actually a beautiful story in the end. I bombed in Osaka, Japan. I never thought I'd even be here.
I have a very similar edible story. I was getting on the plane at LAX with my wife, and you know, you take the edible before you get to the airport, but this one hit me way too hard. And I turned to my wife, she was furious. I went, I'm gonna need your help getting on this plane. She goes, I don't know what that means, but you need to get your shit and get on the plane right now. All right.
Maybe our wives would be friends too.
I think like
last thing I'd ask you, same thing I asked all of our guests at the end of this show, is just for a little piece of advice, a little pearl of wisdom, something maybe you've been working on with your therapist, something maybe your wife taught you, something that your kid taught you. I don't care what it is. Just whatever comes to your mind that could help our getting better community to get better.
Wow, this is a tough one. I kind of want to go back to stop making content and make art. I think that's it's either that or it's give yourself a chance. Stop being the number one hater of yourself. Everybody can use that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Those are both great pieces of advice. Yeah. A lot of people make content. Very few people can make art. And if you put that work in, it's something Bill, I don't know if you know, but you know Bill Lawrence? He did like Ted Lasso and Scrubs. He told me something when I was a little bummed out about my special being on Comedy Central, because I was like, oh, they geo-block shit. It's not, you know, I just knew, I'm like, less people are going to see it. And he was like, well, he's like, you know, never get confused about, you know, popular versus good. You're like, there's always going to be something that they can push out and make it popular. And a lot of people can see it and a lot of people can say it's great. But when something is good, when something is great, it doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter where you put it. The right people will find it and then they will champion it. And that's what I found out when I did it. And I was like, man, The Rock was tweeting about my special. I was like, you can't get better publicity than this, you know? Yeah. And I think, I don't even remember where I got started. Oh, just Starburst content. Just like creating something that's important to you as opposed to like chasing things for money, because if you're just chasing and making content in the hopes of being popular and gaining money, it's like you could be in any industry. I think the beauty of this job and the beauty of art in general and the beauty of your life is the ability to find what truly means something to you and truly enjoy your life and all aspects of it. And that doesn't just come from the check that you get at the end of the week from creating something that a million people saw. It comes from the work, it comes from the job. And I think like you talking about those people sitting at the bar at the end of the show, that was a lesson I learned where I was like, I have to learn to just be happy with doing the work. The work is the joy. The joy doesn't have to come from chasing ladies after a show or getting a check. Because to me, I mean, go ahead, Ricky.
The content to art thing too, it's like, even if you do things that are getting millions and millions of hits, like you talk about money, it's like, they'll make you famous before they make you rich.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, really look at these YouTubers, really look at these TikTokers. Like, there's a small percentage of them that are actually getting it.
That's well put. That's well put. For a guy who says he's not a businessman, you really got to the heart of the business of it, which is I'd rather make money than be famous at all times. I'd rather take care of that was the main thing. Like I could have gone with the half over at Netflix or gone with the hour. And I was like, well, I know my son doesn't need exposure. He likes these checks. He likes me having money in the bank. So let me go. Let me go with this bigger check.
That's what I want my thing to be for everybody. They will make you famous before they make you rich. That shit is so real.
That's absolutely real. It's absolutely fucking real. Man, Ricky, like you said, man, I wish I gotten to talk to you a lot sooner, man, because I really just enjoy how you think and I enjoy your work. And you're so busy and I'm so busy, so I don't know when I'll ever see you again.
You know, I'll be out in LA shortly, man. We'll definitely find some time.
Please, I would love that. I know you know, I think originally we thought we'd be able to get you in person, and my wife was a little bummed. She wanted to meet you.
Oh no. So, I feel bad.
She's a big fan of you as well. We're big fans of you in this Funches household, and we wish you continued success, man. Not that you need it. You're doing just fine, but I enjoy you, and I hope you continue to have a peaceful life.
I appreciate that. I really do.
Of course, Ricky. Thank you for coming. I appreciate
the conversation, man.
Appreciate you taking the time and talking with you.
Of course. I'll catch you later.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening. Bye. Later.